Blog Talk Radio.
And now a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006. A brief word from our sponsor, Reality Books, publisher of Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A short extract from the book, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. God will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. In other words, until they change their way of thinking. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution is designed to help African Americans and other ethnicities change their way of thinking. This is a book that will change America, and it is on sale for only $20 plus $5 postage and handling. You can order your book now by sending a text message to area code 706-399-5006. Please put your name and the number of books that you would like to order, and you will be contacted to arrange payment information so that the book can be mailed to you immediately. So please go ahead and don't hesitate. Order your copy today. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, published by Reality Books. The author of this book is the great-grandson, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, the founder of the famous Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, now known as Tuskegee University. The great-grandson of Booker T. Washington is inviting you to order his book. Send a text to area code 706-399-5006. The book is only $20 plus $5 postage and handling. Order your copy today. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome again to Booker T. Washington African American Family Room Forum. We're so happy that you are with us tonight as we enter the last few days of the short month of February 2022. And unfortunately, this month has been and is one of the saddest months of my life because of the war in Europe, in Ukraine in particular. But who knows what's going to happen in the next few weeks. It may spread. But right now, it is paining me to see these young people, old people, children being mercilessly bombarded by Russia. But so much for that. We'll talk about that if you want to later. But let me begin by welcoming everyone. I see my co-host, our co-host, Ms. Bianchi, has joined us. So before we go any further, I would like to ask Mr. Bianchi for a quick radio check. Are you able to hear me, Mr. Bianchi?
Yeah, you sound very good. Awesome.
Okay, great. And I also want to welcome Sheikh John Cannon Bay. Sheikh John, welcome to the show. You don't have to give me another radio check, but hopefully you can hear me okay.
Yes, I can.
Then we just, okay, thank you. And we just saw Minister Jeez Muhammad Ali enter the virtual family room. So we want to welcome Minister Jeez Muhammad Ali. He's Muhammad Ali, to the program. And it's been a rough week for me because of my sensitivity to what's going on over there in Europe. It pains me to see the pictures that I see broadcast on the news about the devastation and the real terror. But I will say that I did take some time before the show to record a short piece. I promised Ms. Bianchi that I was going to have something from my repertoire to play for you tonight. So I recorded a short piece from my alto sax collection. And so this is from Cabaret Cabernet. That's my virtual jazz club. And here we go. Okay, so we have begun the show. Hopefully you enjoy that little short piece of pleasant music.
Man, that was pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Brother Bay, what do you think about that?
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I'm getting there. It takes a lot of time and practice, which I don't have a lot of time, but I try to practice every day. So hopefully by this time next month, I'll be able to do a little faster piece because I know, Ms. Bunker, I know you in particular like those jumpy, fast pieces. So I'm going to be working on getting something that's more exciting for you next time. But thank you. I'm glad you all listened. And now we can kick off the show. And I don't really have a topic. I don't really want to talk about the Ukraine situation because that's going to be the same conversation over and over again. Nothing new is really there that I feel can be talked about except one thing. I will mention this, and I invite your comments if you want to say anything about it. But Germany just recently, as of yesterday, I think, reversed its position. At first, they said they weren't going to support the Ukrainian army militarily, but they were just going to impose sanctions, including cutting off the flow of Russian oil through this agreement they have to get oil from Russia. But they said they won't cut that off as a way of sanctioning Russia, but they weren't going to commit to any military support. But as of yesterday, I think it was, Germany announced that they will be sending some serious lethal military weapons, or weapons are lethal, but military support, including surface-to-air missiles to shoot down planes and helicopters in particular, because they do have these attack helicopters flying over the city, and also anti-tank weapons and, of course, anti-personnel weapons. So they're going to be flowing in through Poland, which is the bridge right now, maybe the only bridge that's open where Ukraine's friends and allies can get things in there to them. And since Poland is a NATO country, it's more than likely that bridge will remain open so that Ukraine we'll be able to get these supplies. The problem is that the more of a corridor that the Russians set up around Kiev and other military supply centers that need to have these weapons for distribution, the more difficult and challenging it will be for these weapons to get in the hands of the soldiers. But we'll see how that works out, but that's a big step towards getting the support that the Ukrainian government has been literally begging for the last week or two from Germany. And also the United States said they were going to send a package of $350 million worth of similar supplies. And, of course, other countries now, since the quote-unquote ice has been broken, may join in and get supplies in there to Ukraine. Unfortunately, this probably is not going to stop the invasion from being carried out to the fullest in terms of locking down what I would call control of the streets of Ukraine and maybe even taking over the government buildings with a lot of Ukrainian and Russian soldiers laying in the streets and in offices and places. But I think what some people are hoping is that this pushback may encourage Russian government, Vladimir Putin, to, stop before he destroys the cities, especially Kyiv. We'll see what happens. But like I say, I didn't really want to talk about it. It's had me really depressed all week. So it's open, Mike. I had hoped, maybe I missed heard him when he told us how long he was going to be gone to Egypt. But I hoped that Brother Warren would be back so we could get a report on his trip and the conference that he attended. But hopefully he'll be back next week. So I'll turn it over to our co-host, Ms. Bianchi. You have the mic, and it's yours. Take it away.
Well, it should be pretty nice weather in Egypt. I spent 9 years in Egypt going in and around that city, down the northern Sudan border. Boy, it's really hot. But I don't think much of this. Ukraine is not a NATO country. I think that the wiser heads should come to the table and talk. I don't have very much confidence in Joe Biden. After all, Joe Biden done a pro with the Ukraine. If you want the $1 billion, you have to fire the prosecutor. That there should have landed him in jail. Then he said, if you don't believe me, call Obama. Call the president. Get the president on the phone. So that's implication. And he's giving the Ukraine $800 billion. So I heard. Well, you say $350 in military, but $800 billion. I wonder if that's a continuation of the bribe, because leading up to this date, we've heard information where Ukrainians, somebody has some additional information on what the Bidens have been up to in their country. So I hope that things work out well. But as you said, I don't really want to talk about it much because I know a lot of it is grandstanding. And I think that's something that Russia and Ukraine need to sit down at the table and work it out. Too bad they didn't have this much emphasis when the duly elected president of the Ukraine, Yanukovych, was removed, as have leaders around them in other countries. You had Cote d'Ivoire. You had Laurent Gbagbo, the president of Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, that Obama said he must step down, and led to France bombing their air force of recent equipment that they had just purchased from France, allowing Alessandro Quadra to come into the country. Gbagbo was doing it as the country's constitution stipulated. Obama told him he has to step down. He told Cozy Mubarak in Egypt he had to step down. He told another leader in another country I can't think of, maybe one of our esteemed panelists can't think of it. He had the Somali freedom fighters who was trying to control their offshore territorial waters, prevent foreign vessels from coming in fishing without paying their due justice, not paying their dues, should I say. Japan fishing for that prize yellowfin tuna that's off Somalia's coast. And, of course, Obama had his psyops to go in and kill some of those people. So all kind of things go on, Mr. Washington. It's an opportunity for doing everything. You know, Obama with McCain wanted to supply the Syrian moderate rebels with guns, with weapons, to fight against Assad. Whatever happened to that? And you got Democratic candidates like O'Rourke who say he wanted to take Americans' weapons. But we want to give weapons to Ukrainian people so they can defend themselves. And, of course, our southern border is wide open with no seemingly soon-to-be ceiling of it. And then again, too, look right across the northern border and look what's going on with the people there. And the type of communists and autocratic actions that's being imposed by Trudeau and Canadians' parliament. So, like you say, there's better things to talk about. And I'm sure John Kenneth Bay has something. And we know that Minister Jesus Muhammad has something better to talk about. Go ahead, John. Take it over.
Good evening, everyone. As I listen to this situation, a lot of conflict that has come up, the place that they could be resolved is the United Nations and hasn't functioned at a level where it could do that. In fact, we here in the United States of America, we who find ourselves under the same pressures or some of the systems that were put in place that was doing thievery, there's some relief that can be taken or attained through the proper function of the United Nations. So I'm waiting for the United Nations to step in and resolve some of these conflicts and mediate them. For some reason, civil administration have tried to make an effort to weaken the United Nations, and by it being weakened, it can't get or resolve some of these problems that should be resolved in the United Nations. And this one issue we're talking about now, I haven't heard the United Nations weigh in on it, but at some point I think that just as NATO and other organizations, EU are weighing in on this, this activity, what is taking place, affects the entire world, which means the world community should have a say in what's going on. So that's basically how I see the overall situation as it relates to affecting the common people, because the weight of the burden, this money we're talking about, it's going to be paid. Have to be paid by the common people. Right now, gas is increasing, and that's part of the cost of this conflict that could be resolved another way. And that, like I said, the United Nations is a place that it could be resolved. So this is some of my thoughts on this situation that's taking place now.
We're going to bring on Mr. Jesus in just a second. I do want to make a quick comment about what Sheikh John Kenneth Bay just said concerning the United Nations. I've been keeping up with something that I have seen on TV and on the Internet, and a couple of things. Number one is, you know, the United Nations has this organization within the United Nations, larger organization, and it's called the Security Council. And the United Nations Security Council is the one body that really has some muscle to it. But the thing about it is that Russia has veto power in the Security Council, according to the Charter of the United Nations. And so Russia vetoed a UN Security Council resolution yesterday that would have demanded that Russia immediately stop its attack on Ukraine and withdraw all troops. So the council has 15 members. And 11 of those 15 members voted in favor of this resolution to demand that Moscow immediately stop its attack on Ukraine and withdraw all the troops. But out of those 15 members, well, 11 voted in favor of the resolution, China and India and the United Arab Emirates abstained. However, a no vote from any of the five permanent members of the Security Council can stop any action on any measure put before it. And the permanent members are China, and as you know, several years ago, Communist China took over the seat that had belonged to the Nationalist Chinese, who are located on Taiwan. So China, France, Russia, the United Kingdom, which is England, and the United States are the permanent members. So if any one of these five permanent members vetoes anything, that's the end of it. So the Russians, even though the majority of the 15 council members voted for the resolution, Russia blocked it with the no vote. So the United States did vote for the resolution, pushed the resolution actually, but Russia blocked it. So the United Nations, in my opinion, has proven to be an impotent body when it comes to restraining the potential main international aggressors, which is, as far as I am concerned, this is my personal opinion, would be Russia and China. So I don't think we can expect to see any help from the United Nations, but that is a place where people can come together and work out agreements to do whatever they feel that they can do in terms of help for the Ukrainians. They have an International Association of Medical People. It works through the United Nations. They can work together to get volunteers to go over there to provide medical assistance, which is going to be greatly needed as things continue to escalate. And they also can produce medical supplies, bandages, and other types of medical equipment to send over there. So there's a lot that can happen in spite of the continuation of the war that can happen to help the people of Ukraine. But let's go ahead and move away from that topic unless Minister Jesus wants to talk about it. And, of course, you can continue with it if you want to. I've said just about everything that I want to say about that particular topic. Well, I certainly welcome our panelist, Minister Jesus Muhammad Ali. So the mic is yours. Please take it away.
As-salamu alaykum. In the name of Allah, the most merciful. In greetings of peace in paradise. As-salamu alaykum again. Yes, sir. You know, today is the 26th of February, which is a day that the co-founder of the Nation of Islam, Master W.D. Farad Muhammad, he walked across the Ambassador Bridge. And I know yourself, Brother Man Musa, Brother Cavanis, you've been a follower of my grandfather, 1969, and nation in a nation concept of your great-grandfather was realized in great part, you know, by Master Farad Muhammad's arrival here in Detroit, and found my grandfather. He was so depressed until had laid his body across a railroad track. His brother had to pick him up off the railroad track, brought him back home to my grandmother. And my grandmother said, if he wanted a train to run over him, why didn't you leave him there? So adversity, you know, human suffering is something that my family knows a little bit about, and that's why we refer to Master Farad Muhammad as our savior. But Master Farad, in my book, came out 20 years ago, I referred to Master Farad Muhammad as being a product of the Ottoman Empire. Those two dragon heads that symbolize the symbols of Russia, you know, one represents the Ottoman Empire, the other one represents the head of the Tsar, who was the head of the Eastern Catholic Church. So, and like, even in my book, I talk about how 34% of Russia's Soviet Union were Muslims. So this it applies to this situation that's been tabled as far as current events is concerned, what's going on right now. I would only say this too, is that foregoing since the United Nations has been mentioned, Brother Silas Muhammad, who was the paper captain, him and his wife, he married a sister who actually was married to my grandfather's and my grandmother's youngest son, Akbar. His grandfather's original family, they referred to a first family. But anyway, they went to Egypt and studied. But in any case, Sister Harriet, my brother Silas's wife, they came here to Detroit back in 06, and they gave a presentation to let us know that they had went to the United Nations and had worked diligently to have it put on the books that we are not indivisible with these people. We are a conquered people. We are 70% of us are of the indigenous Indians. And so they said when Dr. King, please have mercy on his soul, that Dr. King spoke on the Washington Monument, you know, they felt as though we felt ourselves to be indivisible with these people, but they were able to get it clearly understood that we are not indivisible with these people. So that clearly understood. The only thing I'll say is this. Reflections as far as speaking in broad generalities, I will say this, that the NATO alliance, and then President Putin, he was in 2014 when he established a pipeline from China to tap into the Black Hills. And then he, in 2019, they became a part of OPEC Plus. But anyway, what President Putin was announcing was that he was establishing an Asian Union. Now, the NATO alliance, they claim to be the most powerful force on Earth, listening to the guy who was heading that up when they had a meeting. But this country, 41 million people there in Ukraine. And from what President Putin was saying is that the infrastructure of that country and everything that country has, providing 40% of the oil and wheat even to Israel and to many of the Western European countries, they're saying that he's saying, much like President Lincoln, you know, he's not going to stand for having that country just succeed from what was once the Soviet Union, because they owe their infrastructure to the Soviet Union. And far as he's concerned, they represent the Soviet Union. So they are not members of NATO. And there's a line that's been drawn in the sand that everybody seems to want to respect. You know, the fact that, you know, because the NATO countries are not going to, or don't, you know, they don't want to go. See, in 1978, Russia is the one who went into Afghanistan, decapitated that country by killing off the entire royal family, which is 1,400 people. They did that in one swift motion. At the same time, the Ayatollah went into Iran. You know, CIA's attention was drawn away, you know, after they decapitated Afghanistan, that power vacuum, you know, as we know, you know, led to a long couple of decades of occupation, you know. But I'm just saying Russia is, you know, the bloodletting, you know. You know, say for whom the bell tolls, you know. So, you know, we don't want to see blood, you know, being lost. I mean, there's blood being lost in Ethiopia. I mean, there's wars that are being processed. former President Trump, he, on his first trip overseas, he signed a deal for $110 billion of arms to the Saudis to prosecute a war against the Yemenis in the lower peninsula of Saudi Arabia there. And that's a humanitarian crisis. Prayer, you know, for man's inhumanity to man, I think is something that we should be very, very much invested in. We just, it's what I think of the statistic on this COVID-19, which is looking like it's in the rearview mirror. It's called what 6 million lives, you know. After, you know, then people begin to wonder the times in which we live in, and Bill Gates, you know, his foundation said that the greatest threat that the world, humanity faces is this global warming. And due to fossil fuels, whole cities flooding, tsunamis, all this, Anyway, well, wars and rumors of wars. That sounds like a passage out of Revelation, you ask me. May God bless all those within the sound of my voice, and as I greeted you in the opening of Vassalam Lake, and greetings of peace in paradise, I also greet you now. And thanks for listening.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Brother Jesus Muhammad Ali. Okay, I don't really have anything else on my mind that I really want to talk about. The other big thing that happened in the news, but I really don't want to get into it because I don't want to have a political discussion tonight. I'm really a little tired, and like I said, I've been a little depressed watching all of this terrifying news coming out of Ukraine, because I feel for those people. I've seen scenes throughout the week since the attack actually began to hit the cities of frightened mothers holding terrified babies in rubble and people packed in subways trying to find safety in underground subways. And it's painful to me, even being a military professional. I have not actually had to deal with that in my military career. Being in the Navy, we're out to sea, and even if we cause terrific damage, which we are very well equipped and sometimes mission to do, we don't see it, because unless we tune into a satellite that has the scene and its view, which we won't normally be doing that while we're executing a mission. Some people at some level may be doing it, but people at my level, we just push buttons as we are ordered to do so, and we may hear later what the result of that was. So, I'm just not used to seeing, except in World War II movies, this type of terrifying military destruction, and to see it in this time in my life, it has bothered me. So, but I'm not going to keep talking about that. The other thing I did say that I saw in the news, but I didn't really want to talk about that too much because I don't want to have a political discussion about it. And, that's the nomination of Justice Brown, Ketanji Brown, for the Supreme Court. And she has apparently passed all the vetting at the level of the president's office. Now, she's going to be further vetted by Congress as her name goes up forward for a confirmation vote. But one thing she said in her acceptance speech that it kind of touched me, but at the same time, I really wasn't too happy that she said it, but I guess she wanted to get in front of the news. But she said that she had an uncle that's in prison for life for being a drug dealer. And I said to myself, well, one thing that I probably learned throughout my life is that if you ask a direct question, like I'm in the process of refinancing my home, and so in talking with the mortgage broker, you know, I was asked some direct questions, which I'm obligated by law to answer truthfully. If you don't do that, you can be put in prison for mortgage fraud. So I gave her the truthful answer to all of her questions. But to volunteer some very embarrassing information about your family, even though you may be completely detached from anything related. She's been a prosecutor. She's, you know, also been a public defender and so forth and so on. And she's always, from what I would imagine, stayed on the right side of the law. But to paint the picture of her circle, I'll call it, with this admission that her uncle is serving a life sentence, and to do it during her acceptance speech, I'm not going to say I thought that was tacky, but I kind of thought that was a little bit tacky. But I'm not going to prejudge the lady because she seemed to be very highly educated, very articulate, very sincere. And I say, you know, may God's grace be on her and on the most honorable court. If they choose to, if the Congress or Senate choose to confirm her to the court, that's all I want to say about that. So we got about 15 minutes left before I plan to stop the show, but we can stop it sooner than that. So I'll just go back up through minutes.
Let me go around and I'm going to leave. You don't mind.
Okay, well, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I just
want to
add a couple
now?
Things. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I've heard this said many times about blacks being sentenced to unusual sentences for a nonviolent drug offenses. Well, that's just not true, because the person who has the first and longest nonviolent incarceration sentence come down him was a white young man at the time. I think he was either 18 years old, maybe 17, working in Detroit with Johnny Curry. His name, they call him White Boy Rick. And, you know, these people that get involved in these drugs, you hear about them all the time, they are destroying lives and causing damage. And I don't have too much sympathy for them, although I'm sorry that they had to choose that which they said they do. But as Johnny Curry said, and he's on YouTube, very handsome brother too. I think he spent 20 years, maybe 11 of those 20 years. Johnny Curry was an informant to the police and put more people behind bars and implemented many, including Coleman Young, the glorious mayor of Detroit, and also Kwame Kilpatrick, I believe. So that there needs to be part of any associated theory of history that people don't know anything about, nor do they hear anything about, and that's a tragedy. Another point, all eyes is on Ukraine. Well, presently, Nigeria is being attacked from the north by Fulani herdsmen. They're at the Plateau State. This began at the north, right there at Niger, Chad, Boko Haram, another organization I can't think of their acronym. Here just recently, Nigeria Air Force bombed Niger and killed innocent men, women, and children. in this YouTube clips showing the retaliation that's going on, where you got those who are working for, who's with the Nigerian forces. Hell, they got trucks pull up, pickup trucks pull up full of dead bodies. Or they lay them down on the street and shoot them in the back of the head. These are things that's going on. And as I said before, you hear nothing on the news about this. Nigeria under attack. Fulani militants in Plateau State kill over 36 people. And this was back in August. And I knew about these incidents that's been going on with the Fulani. Fulani, I believe, was some big slave traders, too. But now they utilizing ethnic cleansing and killing men and raping women and recolonizing Nigeria, trying to turn it into a Fulani state. And the ethnic cleansing, they're having babies, 6 or 7 per woman. They want to physically take over that nation. And nothing is being heard about that. And these, of course, are blacks on blacks. But I could say it's human beings on human beings. I think Mr. Washington would agree with that. We're talking about human beings. Because evil don't recognize any skin color. So you can switch it over to Mr. Bay. Maybe he can comment on that.
Okay, before we do that, I want to welcome Sister Baena, and then we'll go back to Mr. Bay. And I do agree with you, Ms. Bianca, on what you just said. But since Sister Baena just joined, she missed my little concert. And I know that she and my wife are very close, and my wife may have told her about my new hobby, if you want to call it that, playing the horn. And so I don't know if she's a music lover or not, but I'm going to go ahead and let you share what we had earlier, Mrs. Bain. This is a little concert I did. It's very short, only about 5 minutes. And hopefully you'll like it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That was awesome. Yeah. I didn't know you were that good. I heard you had got a horn, but I didn't know you were that good. Well, thank you so much.
Well, yeah, it's got my feet jumping.
Thank you. I'm working on it. You never get as good as you would like to be because only God is perfect. So the only thing that a musician can do is learn new material and strive to make it sound pleasing, and I'm working on it. So I appreciate your compliments. Well, we reached that magic hour, but I want to give Sister Baena an opportunity before we close to comment on anything you would like to talk about tonight. We've been talking about the situation, the terrible situation going on in Ukraine with the war of aggression by Russia. But Ms. Bianchi brought up a very important point that I definitely don't believe we should overlook, and that is while the world's attention, because of the news media, has been for the last few weeks focused on Ukraine, and particularly in the last few days because of the actual invasion. But he mentioned about Nigeria, that there's also aggression happening in Nigeria, and he talked about the Fulanis and how they're hoping to take over at least that section of Nigeria, and they're performing what is known as ethnic cleansing. And I don't know if you had come on in time to hear that, and he said he might have to go. So, but you can talk about. We've only got a couple of minutes left because I had one close at 9.
I did hear you mention the Fulani and what they're doing over there, and I didn't know that. That's amazing. But it seems that we're living in a very strange time now, and it seems that whatever is going on in one country is going on somewhere all over the world. I mean, there's stuff going on in China, I mean, Palestine, Syria, Yemen. And on a positive note, I just want to say Happy Savior's Day to all the Muslims who are African-American Muslims who are listening online tonight. Today is our annual Savior's Day. And I just want to say that on a positive note, you know, because there's so much negativity in the atmosphere right now. But, you know, I really enjoy the show, and I'm just grateful that I was able to catch some of it because I've been so busy. That's why you guys haven't heard from me. I've been pretty busy. Yeah. But I really enjoyed
that. We stay in touch with Jackie, so that it's good to have you on. We're going to close now. I had really wanted to stop at 9. It's been a depressing week for me because of the Ukraine situation. And even though Jackie and I had a nice excursion going out shopping this afternoon, and that was relaxing because being out with her is always a nice, relaxing experience. But I'm not going to stay on the program longer unless somebody else has something really quick they would like to say to close out, and we will go with Sheikh John and see if you have any final comments. And thank you, Sister Bain. I appreciate you. Sheikh John, would you like to add any final comments?
No. Marsha, I did send you a text asking you to look at a case, the U.S. versus Henry Turner's Ayers. It's a very, very important case. What it does is it brings more clarity into who is who in reference to the five civilized nations, who is who has entitled to this land of a million acres. And to do that, you have to claim part of the family, and the family names are very important. Those names are Eels, Bays, Days, and Ali. So that kind of caused me to ask Brother Jesus Muhammad Ali a little more about his name, Ali, which is a pageant to the Moorish, I'm going to use the word Moorish royalty, but it ties you to the inheritance, or will you be the heir of what would be the remnants of the Moorish Empire. And it's brought out in the document, which means the United States of America and its court system recognize these, how shall I say, rights, I'll put it that way. But to access the white rights, you got to be knowledgeable, must know to access it the right way. In other words, that something is written that it says it is for a group designated as Moors, and then if someone's trying to access that and they're not calling themselves Moors, some other Moors, then they disregard. So what we disregard, we're not talking about the same people, and they're not entirely on the same page. But some of the things that comes out in that article, we can read that article, you will see where the Courts of Justice of America has recognized certain truths that have not been talked about abroad in the general public and educational system. So at some point, maybe you and I can talk about that.
Okay.
I'll turn to you.
Yeah, Sheikh Chad, I'm looking through my text messages, and I don't see it. Could you resend it to me?
Sure.
Would it be possible to resend that link to me? Because I'm looking, I went all the way back to January, and I don't know, I may have inadvertently deleted, but I don't usually do that unless it's some what I would call spam. But if you don't mind, could you resend that to me?
Yeah, I think probably I sent the wrong number.
You've been sending me texts in the past. I'll tell you what I'll do. What I do right now is I can text you, you know, as soon as the program is over. I can text you my number, which you have sent me texts in the past, so I know you have it, but I'll send it to you again.
Yeah, I have the number. I sent it to the number for the podcast.
Oh yeah, no, it's not going to come to me that way. Send it to my personal phone, and I'll be able to get it. Okay.
All right, I'll do that.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, St. John Cannon Bay. Okay, we're going to go ahead and if you have some quick comment messages, I know she did reach out. You know, with Savior's Day greetings, and I also extend the Savior's Day greetings to everyone, because even though people that don't even understand the significance of Savior's Day, but Savior's Day is one of the most significant events that happens yearly in American history, because it represents, it actually is the birthday of Master Wallace Farhad Muhammad, who came to America to save the righteous people of America. Now, a lot of people say he just came to save the black people, but he didn't just come to save the black people. He said that there were some of the other people that would be saved. And so anyone, according to the Quran, and he subscribed and taught us to read the Quran, who is righteous and does good works, that they're going to be saved in the judgment. So he wanted to make sure that all the righteous people got the message about the judgment and about what it took to be able to survive on that great and fateful day. So we all have a chance by adhering to the teaching from all of the holy books, not just the Quran, because one of the books that he started off with us learning was to have a better understanding of the Bible. So we all can be saved through the holy books and following the holy books. So I appreciate him coming, and he sure enough helped save me through his minister, and later we call messenger, Elijah Muhammad. He definitely saved me, and I wouldn't be where I am today had it not been for him giving Elijah Muhammad what he gave him to give to me. So I thank you for bringing that up, Sister Bainer. So, Mr. Jesus, having said that, would you like to make any quick final comments?
Yes, sir. I would like to go through it real quick. Yes, sir. I'll start right with what you just left off. Yeah, my grandfather, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, our messenger, he said, America is a young country. They can change. So, and he did teach, this country based on separation of church and state, and we do have the freedom of speech, you know, which is something that is, cannot be taken as a trifle. He spoke to separatism. This country was based on separatism, and, you know, the Caucasian race, they look at interracial marriage as a biological war. The children are not going to look like them. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his teachings, they recognize that clearly. So self-preservation is the first law of nature, so separation, so that speaks to everybody, and the edicts, and which is whatever, those edicts and the moral fiber of the Nation of Islam and many of those edicts of self, say respecting yourself and the sacredness of your temple, your body, you know what I mean, and not be led into those different vices. But anyway, I just want to touch on very briefly is that, yes, the emotional orchestration of by the media of what's going on over in Ukraine, this is in great part, you know, that's what Brother Bianchi was calling attention to about how there's so many other, you know, grievous human tragedies that are going on, but they're not given the same type of media attention, you know, and that's something. I mean, and I want to also please, I don't want to be remiss in the sense that I listened to both of those renditions that you've been working on so diligently. May I continue to bless you to pursue your passions that will, you know, will allow you to be to gain any peace of mind during these tumultuous times after 27 years of active duty and some of the things if you've seen in the course of that time. You know, you're 78 years old. It's no guarantee. He says tomorrow is not promised to no man. It's no guarantee I'll ever get to be 78. My grandfather was only with us until he was 77. And I know you suffered a very near-death experience recently with a surgery not too long ago. If you had not made it through that surgery, I wouldn't have been blessed by Allah to know you. And I feel quite honored to know you. As a great legacy of your great grandfather Booker T. Washington, who was always acknowledged by my grandfather, you know, and the work that he did, and I know that he would be very proud of you, in my estimation, and from and the privilege of knowing you. So I want to leave with that, and and give you the greetings of peace and paradise of Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. So we're going to end, as we always do, with our co-host giving the final commentary, and I'm so happy you remained with us. So, Mr. Piaki, please go ahead and close us out.
Well, I really enjoyed the piece that John Kenneth Bay gave us in the elegant summary that a minister gave us. And Mr. Washington, I'm sure glad you did survive that surgery, because I wouldn't be able to hear these marvelous pieces that you're putting out. My goodness, man.
That's real kind. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you again, Minister Jesus. So anyway, I hope that everyone have a safe and sound week. You get a chance, look at the stories on Nigeria being under attack. And this is some serious, I don't know what you would do with it. I really don't. I don't know what you could do with it. They got the ability to take care of themselves. Should anyway, by now. They have the largest economy on the continent, but it's mostly down in the south. But as I said before, these attacks, these infiltrations have filtered their way down to the center of the country. They're at Plateau State. Of the 35 different states that's in Nigeria, and they're raping women, killing men, just walking up and killing them. And they're showing pictures of men sitting in their chairs at the table, it's slumped over, haven't moved. But we have to see what happens. Thank you again, Mr. Washington. You have a pleasant week.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm so sad that our program has the end on such a somber note, but we're living in very somber times. And the only thing we can do is just pray that Almighty God will give our human family some relief from all this evil that we're having to contend with, but that's part of life, is having to fight against the evil, and God promises us that we will be victorious, but we have to hold on and keep the faith. So with that said, I will end with our traditional closing music, and this is not mine, but this is a recorded version of the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing.